Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor, and I am a housewife who has not figured it out. This is episode number 95. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. Coming up on the program today, my dear friend, Pastor Linda Isaiah, back on the show again with me. And we're going to have some honest girl talk, although I don't want that to scare the guys because it really is for everybody. We in the mix are going to talk about marriage, sometimes that elusive quest to communicate effectively, and some really sometimes small actions and how they can have surprising power in a relationship, what those small actions are, and life priorities. Every day we have choices about how we will spend that day. And with the endless options that we face on a daily basis, I think it's good to do a little workshop together and just go through any troubleshooting that we might need to do regarding our priorities. So that's another topic that Linda and I will discuss, as well as friendships, finding good friendships and keeping them, holding on to them in a lasting way. And a lot of other goodies sprinkled in. We have a big giveaway. The last episode, we talked about the goodie bag for Arise, the beautiful Be Still and Know canvas bag with all the wonderful loaded stuff inside. So we're going to give a chance for you to win that. We're going to pull a winner. And I have another giveaway at the end of this episode. So a lot coming up. And of course, we are now in a brand new month. So this is the month of May, which traditionally has been dedicated to Our Lady. Devotion to Our Lady, one of the most ancient prayers of the faithful, not to worship, but to thank and appreciate the Blessed Mother. And the reason why is it's just been as long as tradition really holds, even in classic Western culture, Greek and Roman, May was recognized as the season of the beginning of new life. So that connection between motherhood and May led Christians to adopt May as the month of Mary. In the United States, of course, it's Mother's Day month. So God bless all our moms and honoring the moms in our life. Guys, just a friendly reminder, thank your mama if you haven't done that yet. And of course, Our Lady is the queen of roses and happiness in our hearts, all blossoming with love for Jesus, her son. The history, the theology behind that tradition is so spectacular. And just in regards to today, this month, the month of May, and honoring Mary, I went back and saw on my Facebook memories that a year ago I had written this, and I thought it would be a fitting way to begin the show. It says, "It is on the account of our divine Lord that Mary receives special attention, and not on account of herself. Left to herself, her motherhood would dissolve into humanity, but when seen in the light of his divinity, she becomes unique. Our Lord is God who became man. Never before or since did eternity become time in a woman, nor did omnipotence take on bonds of flesh in a maid. It is her son who makes her motherhood different. It is because our Lord is so different from other sons that we set his mother apart from all mothers." And that is the Venerable Fulton Sheen. I love that. So with that in mind, let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Holy Mary, Mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, who carried in your very body the gospel of peace, we greet you and ask you to be our mother as well. Holy Mother of God, we honor you, wife of Joseph, Mother of Christ, hostess to angels, patroness to contemplatives, guide to pilgrims, inspiration to poets, light to those who wander in the darkness. In response to the voice of God, we honor you. We too will feel the mystery of Christ and be open to the will of God, as you were with your fiat. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. Amen.
It's Brooks. It's Brooks.
Come on in. I'm just just getting my little studio ready for my friend, getting freshened up. I just got a new haircut. I got some inches chopped off, and it feels pretty good. I did not go to the back to the pixie cut, but I did get some inches cut off. It's the long bob. It's known as the lob. I didn't know there was such a thing. But I have a lob haircut, so I could still put it back, but short enough to feel a little bouncy. So as we're preparing for summer, and I know I'm not going to have enough time to do my hair and get it's nice. It's a good thing. So that's what's happening in our house. The kids are just preparing for their last full month of school.
I know.
Before the end of the year.
I know.
My son Garrett's birthday is coming up, so we're getting ready for that. Baseball season, so I'm getting the cleats, keeping track of the cup. Where is that? Getting the baseball pants cleaned. So that's what's happening at Brooke's house.
Something to keep up with.
Yes, and at the moment, I have the honor and privilege of sitting across from my dear friend back on the show in the house, Good Things Radio today, is my dear sister, Linda Isaiah. Welcome, Linda.
Yay, welcome. Thank you.
It's nice two in a row to have you on the program because the last segment that we had in the previous episode was you and Father Nathan Cromley, Padre in Your Pocket. And I have to say, it was pretty terrific.
Yeah, I thought so too.
To have you guys come together. So thank you.
Welcome.
And you were there for the entire weekend at the retreat. So
yes.
I just wanted to ask, now that the dust has settled, how did you think, how did you feel it went?
It was great. It was phenomenal. It was exhilarating, but it was sobering too. Because when you take time to stop and allow yourself to take things in, God just speaks to you. And you realize that maybe all this stuff I'm doing isn't what I need to be doing. Maybe I need to be moving in another direction. Mm-hmm. And so it was just powerful listening to Father Nathan and the sisters and the other ladies that came from Columbus and eating together and walking the walk, the faith walk, and praying for people on the walk. And it was just, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. I intend to do it again, hopefully.
Well, I was going to ask if you'd come back.
Absolutely. We'd love for you to come back. I would love to.
I just feel like you've got to be.
It was a great time.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it because I'm on the air either. I mean, it really was a great time. It was a
and
great
I
time.
And I feel blessed as a friend. Mm-hmm. There's my phone. I'm turning it off. Mm-hmm. Radio, we're on 101. You're supposed to have your phone off. That we were able to connect because so often we see each other at events or we do get together. We get together maybe once a month, but just in that environment where there was no other place we needed to be.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Respecting each other and our faith traditions too.
Now that's what's neat, that I am not Catholic. You know, and I don't, the only time I go to Catholic church is when I'm with Brooke. That's when I'm Catholic, okay?
Well, that's what I go to. I always talk about your event, your conference going, and the warmth that I felt. So I think it's a mutual, I hope, love that
it
we share.
It is. I got my bracelet on today that Andrea had us make. So I wear my bracelet. And so I learned so much and I feel so accepted. I don't feel out of place. I'm just different because I don't understand everything, but I know Jesus and that's all I need.
Yeah.
Goes right to the source.
And that's where we are gathering together and uniting is with him and in his sacred heart. Well, you were in a small group with Donna and I talked about her in the last episode.
Yeah,
she
Donna.
Lost her husband of 46 years, really encouraged a lot of the married women at the retreat.
Did.
And talked about the legacy of love.
Yes, she did.
And working on friendship with your spouse, our marriages. You talked about marriage as well.
Yes.
And that's something we realized this year is a component we need to focus on maybe for next year in ministry work. I know it's something you encounter a lot of, that we need to work on our marriages. So I'm just curious some of the issues that you see across the board with couples that we deal with.
You know, just being at the retreat and talking to Donna uplifted my marriage. I've been married 36 years and we've had a great last week. And I know it's because of some of the tips that she gave me. So you're never too old to learn if you just open up your ears. I think one of the things is we think marriage is going to be the same from the time we get married until we're married 50 years. But marriage it changes every day. It changes in seasons just like you change. You're not going to be the same when your children are gone and out of the house. And I think we forget that. And so we get stuck in a rut and we expect him to always be what he's always been, but you're not what you've always been.
Right.
And so we don't leave ourselves room for the transition and for the differences. And that's what I'm finding out in my marriage. And I think women, Christian women, they're too hard on themselves. I want to do everything right with him. Mm-hmm. I want to be his everything. Well, I don't know if you can be his everything. Jesus is supposed to be his everything and Jesus should be your everything.
Yeah.
And when Jesus is your everything, then you can be with the best you can be with your spouse. And I think we get it twisted.
Yeah. And yeah. At different stages, needing to keep being pulled back and reminded. I think it's good to dream with your spouse.
Yes, I
never
love that.
Never stop dreaming with them.
I love that. For something different, better, and more. That's one of the things in my marriage. I say, God, I'm never going to give up on this marriage. I'm never going to give up on him. We're going to keep striving. Sometimes we're fighting. Sometimes we're bickering. That's okay. We're just going to keep at it. We're in the same house together. We're going to keep working with this. Even if I am upstairs and he's downstairs, Donna.
That's right.
Living it's single life. But married. But sometimes you just don't give up and you just keep at it because you're going to have challenges. You're not going to agree on everything.
Yeah. You know? And that ebb and flow of life, like you said.
Yeah.
There are mountaintops, valleys. It's just life. And for me, I'm in a stage. My husband said to me the other day, I feel like you've been deep in thought for the last 3 years. He said, every time I look over at you, your brow is furrowed, you're quiet, you're thinking about something really deeply. And he's right. Because I have been in a state where I've kind of felt suspended. Where am I going? What am I supposed to be doing?
Right.
Listening, discerning. But I think the awesome byproduct of that is, especially lately, it's allowed my husband and I to have some really good, deep conversations.
Nice.
I might be in a place of confusion and where I'm not feeling like I'm hearing God shout, because sometimes he whispers.
Right, right. But
through that, I've taken that to my husband and he's willingly listened and he'll say, I am not a spiritual director and I'm not the best person, but he, in terms of giving me A, B, C direction, here's the clear vision, but he listens and we dream together and we talk about what is God calling our family to do and be today.
Yeah.
And to not be afraid of the dark times and the unknowns.
That's right.
Because when we're married, we don't walk alone and we have to fight even if we feel like our partner's absent, our spouse.
That's right. That's right. And marriage is work.
Yeah.
It wasn't supposed to be this hard, but since, you know, Eve did what she did and Adam did what he did, Adam sinned, and because of the fall of man and the beginning, then we live in, our marriages aren't perfect. They're fallen because we're fallen people and we raise fallen children and it just kind of goes on and on. But you don't ever keep striving and keep and fighting. And I love what you said about when you click in the conversation. And it's like the other day, Errol and I were talking. That's my husband's name, Errol. And we were talking and all of a sudden it was like this flow that happened. And because we hadn't been flowing real well here lately, you know. There's been a lot of bickering and carrying on, and I was not liking him. Now, let me say something about that. You know what? It's okay if you don't like your husband sometimes. Don't feel bad about that, ladies. That's no sin. You just don't like him sometimes. He gets on your nerves, you know? So there are times I just was
saying, but we know we're not perfect, too.
Right. He don't like me sometimes, you know? I don't know why, though, but anyway. I'm just like, but... You know,
if he doesn't like you, that's his problem.
That's right. Right. He got the problem. But it was so nice for us to get to a point where I went to him about a spiritual matter. And Errol has good spiritual sense. He really, really does, you know. And he sat me down. Sometimes I don't listen to him, but he sits me down. I'd be like, he don't know what he's talking about. And he sat me down and he just said, Linda, just very simple. He said, you can't do everything and you can't please everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, I know that. He said, no, you don't. Because if you knew that, you wouldn't be trying to do everything.
Boy, I think you...
I'm just like, wow.
Hit the nail on the head. Because I think women, too, and I'm relating, because my husband is the same way. I overcomplicate things.
Yes.
I make things so much more involved than what they need to be. And sometimes guys are so good at just pointing out the obvious.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That you, and then I'm fortunate enough, and I think Brooke is, too, because I've dealt with Jim, to be married to men who aren't picky about cleaning and cooking and all that stuff. Because Errol, I mean, if I clean and I cook, that's fine. But he don't get all bent out of shape if the sweeper hasn't been ran today. That's me stressing.
Yeah.
I need to run the sweeper. I need to do this. And he's like, hey, just chill. Take a chill pill. It'll be there tomorrow, you know? And so I like the fact that he's opposite than I am. And so that it makes it calms me, because I'm like you. I can get really worked up. I get, and as women, we go to bed at night thinking already about what we have to do in the morning, the list of things. And for those of you who homeschool, then your day is just, you're always moving, always running, always trying to stay ahead. And then you feel like at the end of the day, did I accomplish anything? I'm exhausted and I'm still behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
You know,
and the left undone list that remains and kind of haunts you sometimes.
Right. And it's going to be left undone because the reality of it is we can't do everything.
Well, one of the things I've so admired over the years about you, your relationship with Errol, knowing that he's on dialysis 3 times a week.
Yes.
And the devotion to, and we were just talking about it before we recorded, to say, I'm going to drop you off. I'm going to pick you up. And not that you wouldn't anyway,
right,
but I mean,
right.
You talked about he could maybe find a way home, get But that no matter what is going on, you are anchored with your first priority.
Yes.
You are wife, you are mother, and then everything else. And obviously, number one is you, and we've talked about this all
the time,
clinging to Jesus.
Clinging to Jesus.
We do that, his grace flows into us. We're able to give that. But so often that we put ourselves underneath the family and we detach ourselves from Jesus. And the importance of being interested in your spouse. Interested in what is going on in their life, too.
Right, exactly. And not them. I think what happens with women is we expect our husbands to meet our needs. They're supposed to fill the void, but only Jesus can fill the void. And bless their hearts, they try to fill the void until they get so tired after about 20 years, they realize they can't.
Yeah.
And so we have a responsibility to take care of ourselves to some degree, to get as healthy as we can. And it's one of the things that I think I do well. I can pat myself on the back. I have been on a spiritual journey of wellness since I was 30 years old, and I'm 60.
We need to stop and spotlight this. You've lost some weight. You exercise every morning.
I exercise 5 days a week. I've got my, for the people who know about A1Cs and diabetes and everything, I'm a diabetic. My A1C was at 6.7. I've got a down to 5.9. Now that's huge.
Wow.
3 more points, I will not even be considered a diabetic.
Wow.
Okay.
And so it's taken day by day, your steps.
My steps, hard work, eating right. Because if I don't take care of myself, I can't be the best for the kingdom, number one.
Yeah.
My husband, number two, my child, my extended family, my brothers, and my friends. I can't. I just can't, because I'm always tired and worn out. And then I'm frustrated, nasty. Y'all know I can do that nasty thing.
We all can.
We all do the nasty thing, you know. Just nasty, just irritated. And then you're emotional because you're not taking care of yourselves. You have to take care of yourselves first.
Well, yesterday here in Ohio, it was beautiful. It was like 80 degrees.
Yeah,
warmer than that, sunshine. And I went for a 5-mile run. And
good
over the years,
you.
I've noticed it's harder for my body to maintain that distance.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know what? I don't know by this one run the benefits to my body. I could be preventing breast cancer. I know the mental health aspect because I've seen over the years the way that my mind decompresses and processes things. And I find it really interesting when we were talking in a session one-on-one while we were doing some spiritual counseling, you were talking about anxiety and some actual specific things that are tried and true that through your clinical training that help relieve anxiety. And one of them you said is like, what was it? I'm kind of like pounding my fist into my hand because it was like this body jarring exercises that helps relieve anxiety.
Oh, I can't even remember now. I know that exercise.
Music, you said too?
Music. I like to walk with music.
Yeah.
That helps me focus. It gives me, God speaks to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a runner.
But walking, it's raising your heart rate. It's cardio.
Yes, cardio. And it just helps me just settle in Jesus. It does.
Yeah.
And all the things that I worry about, I just give it to him on that walk, And it's just me and him alone. But it will help with your anxiety, any exercise.
Yeah, I think you said exercise, writing.
Writing helps. Any kind of journaling that you do will help you. And even if you don't want to, I like to journal because there's something about the pen to the paper that's very therapeutic versus on a computer.
Yeah.
A computer's kind of sterile. But if you get the pen and paper and you just begin to write your feelings, it will just begin to release some of that from you. And that comes with some of the grief that we deal with and that we carry. And one of the things we talked about at the retreat was grief recovery. And so many of the women came up to me and said, boy, I forgot about some things that happened a long time ago. And I said, well, it hasn't forgotten about you.
Yeah.
Because you're carrying it with you. And you don't even know that you're leaving that legacy to your children. So self-help, developing yourself, reading a book. I'm a reader, reading about leadership, reading about love. I used to read about marriage. I got tired of that. I'm gonna be honest. I was like, I'm the only one doing the reading. Anybody else in my house read about marriage?
You know, you do that covert thing where you leave the page out for him to read.
You know, please. You know, so I got away from that. So I began to say, Linda, instead of trying to read about your husband, how to understand him, maybe you need to read about how to understand yourself.
Yeah.
Figure out you. And that's where my journey has been. And I say to women, you got to work on yourself.
You know, that really is a great point. And also in line and solidarity with what Father Nathan said too, if you're having an issue with someone, don't necessarily think about the issue with that person. Think about the conflict within yourself.
Yeah.
What are you working through that's making it difficult in this situation? And I needed that reminder. It's easy to look at the other person and say, they're not responding the way, they're not hearing me. Right. They're not responding the way I want them to.
Right.
These expectations aren't being fulfilled. But there's only so much you can do about them. What am I dealing with that I need to try to heal or move on from?
That's right.
Or reconcile?
That's right.
And
that's right.
The thing that I wanted to ask you about also is God's will versus our will and discerning priorities. And I shared with you personally, as we've had some back and forth and decompression from the retreat, that when I came back from Arise and re-entered my family, I noticed that my daughter didn't look good. She didn't look good, and she wasn't doing well. And every now and then, although it's now far and few between and it's shorter in spurts when it does happen, she'll regress. And it's almost like she's operating on this binary base level of her brain, and I got to pull her back. And it's work, and it's painful. It's very, very difficult for a mother when you can't reach your child.
Yeah.
And on a daily basis, we were at church yesterday and she did. So thank you for your ongoing prayers because she did awesome at church.
Oh.
But there was something wrong with her foot and she was getting frustrated. And I loosened her sandal. Then I tried to see if there was anything underneath. But that's just one aspect of difficulty when you have a nonverbal child. There was something wrong and I couldn't figure out what it was. And she was frustrated because she couldn't tell me. And I came from the retreat thinking, it is a wonderful thing to be able to witness what God's doing in the lives of others.
Right.
And in some microscopic way to be able to help facilitate that grace.
Right.
But what good is it if I'm not helping those within my care, you know, my own family? And this retreat, by the grace of God, was amazing and easier than ever because of this awesome team. But at the end of the day, I was away from my family for a while.
Sure.
And it was just one thing in a litany of other things, speaking engagements, events, things coming up. And so those are the things where I think maybe I just need to step back from everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone's listened to the podcast for a while, you know I've been kind of wrestling. I went and said, I'm only doing the podcast once a week, once a month, I should say.
Right.
Once a month, that's it. And then I missed it and I missed the community. And then I'm saying, I'm going to do it once a week.
Yeah.
And it sounds like I'm a wishy-washy person, but I'm really not. I think it's just I'm trying to work through some things and be obedient to God and thinking about that. And I know it's different for everybody. Every person has their own stuff. And I think sometimes, like in the case of Carolina, she has a situation where I can kind of put some bubble gum and duct tape on it and think she's good. Her needs are met.
Right.
She's taken care of.
Right.
I'm not going to be able to cure her autism. There's only so much I can do.
Right.
So she's happy and fed. And now I'm going to go over here and take care of this.
Right.
But the reality is it me just distracting myself with other things because over here is where I feel like I do a good job.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do that as people, as women. We say, I want to go over here because I feel better about myself when I'm doing this.
Right, right.
You know, I feel like I'm failing here, so I don't want to continue to deal with that every day.
Right.
But that might be where God exactly is calling us. And I was talking to my friend because I had, just days after the retreat, another opportunity dropped into my lap. Mm-hmm. Would you like to be a part of this budding, blossoming empire that could possibly, you know, be planted right here in your area?
Right.
Well, that was something that took my breath away. And I was talking to my friend, and she said, you know, look at Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa had a call within a call. She was a nun, but then she was called further into starting her own order,
right,
which was the Missionaries of Charity.
Right.
And I get that, and I think, but that's already what happened to me. I was called to be a mother, and then the call within a call was to adopt this beautiful child, this daughter of mine. And maybe that's where I need to be, a laser beam, and not this snowflake that's all over the place.
Yeah.
And I think what's hard is when we are disciples, each one of us speaking and listening are in a community, in a home, in a community, in a city, in a country, where anything we do is going to have a ripple effect.
Yeah.
If we homeschool our children, it's going to have a ripple effect. If we begin a Bible study in our church, it will have a ripple effect. But when you look at the disciples, their whole lives, they went to the ends of the earth by feet, by boat, but there is a price to be paid.
Yes.
You know, if we decide to do that, something else is going to suffer. That's the reality. And we were talking about that, you know, off the air. Ben Franklin was an amazing statesman, but he wasn't the best husband and father.
Right.
You know, and but he was really good at what he did.
Right, right.
And so I guess that is, for me, the challenge of my will versus God's will. And I know we talk about it together because you have additional elements in your home and in your family and in your church, but your own ministry that you're trying to build.
Yes.
And I don't mean this conversation to be a self-serving way, because I know for each one listening, in our own lives, there's layers of things we can do. We have our one main plot. If our life is a drama, a play, a comedy, but then there's all these subplots playing out.
Yeah.
And how do you know when to just let it all go and when to grow it?
Right. And you know, wow, that's something, and that's a lot. I think, you know, because you just walk, you have to walk some things out day by day. You don't see a blueprint.
Yeah.
You just don't know. Are you ministering because you are overwhelmed or tired of, you know, all the responsibilities with your baby girl? Or are you ministering because you have a call to do that, and it is a good, healthy deviation, so that when you come back to her, you are a better mother? Because it's difficult to stay always in the middle of what I call complicated grief. Because with you, with Caroline, it's complicated grief. Your heart is broken every time you work with her, you minister to her, you love her. She's your daughter. That's complicated. And you can't live in complicated grief. You know it's there. And ladies, complicated grief is just a grief that you live with every day. You say you have a mother who has Alzheimer's, and so you care for her. That's complicated grief. You see her declining. You're doing the best that you can for her. So you're grieving along with her, but you need the deviation because that helps you be a better person when you come back to mama.
Yeah.
If you stay always as a caregiver, I'm a caregiver. Brooke, you're a caregiver. If you stay always as a caregiver, it can make you very unhealthy, I think.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with you being able to have the Arise conference and to have some speaking engagements and balance that out and know that right now, maybe you can't take on another project.
Right.
Maybe what you have in your hand is all that you can do with your baby girl and your boys and your husband.
Yeah.
And your responsibility at St. Paul.
Right.
And your mother. Because you still have, you have a mother that you still see about. She's able, she gets around and all that, but you have a relationship there and your relationships with your friends. So you learn how to kind of get a little piece of paper. And girls, this is what you do. Get you a piece of paper and write down on that paper all the responsibilities that you have. And you would be overwhelmed at what you do in a day. And then you can look back at it and say, you know what, I'm going to cross this off.
What happens is when you're around people, you talk. I start talking like you.
Yeah, do you? My husband say, I'mo. Yeah. I am going to. Then you look at that list and you say, okay, then I really can't take anything else on. I know myself. I can't take on another thing. So there could be a great opportunity that comes up at church. You know, Linda, we want to look at maybe putting you on.
Well, you deal with grief ministry.
Yes, I deal with grief ministry. That is enough for me. And I help families walk through grief. Right now, I'm dealing with a family whose daughter, they found the daughter deceased. She was 35 years old. And so I'm helping this family walk through this and get them to the funeral and all the pieces. When I'm done, I put 15, 20 hours in with the family. When I'm done, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. But I always keep the priority to make sure I have reserve for my husband and my child. So ladies, don't care where you go out, you can speak to the President of the United States of America. You make sure when you come home, you have some energy left.
Yeah.
To have some life for the kids, for the family.
Yeah.
How y'all doing? Let's play a game, because you can sleep when you get into bed.
And I think that goes for the men too, because men work hard and they come home and they just wanna decompress.
Yes.
And you do have to, though, I think you're right, make a point. And also, I remember reading something, seeing something, whether it's a woman or a man coming in the door after a long day, that you don't just want to jump on them, you know, with all of the issues of the day at hand.
Right.
And every single family makeup is different. There are a lot of single moms.
That's right.
And you don't really get a break. But that's why I think that having a girlfriend, having a sister, an angel that you can really confide in and have those conversations is so important.
I agree. And relationships are all we have. Your relationship with Christ, your relationship with your spouse, your children, your girlfriend, that's all we have. There's nothing else that we have. So we need those to help us stay balanced. And good girlfriends will help you stay balanced. They will. They'll be able to walk alongside you and say, you know, maybe you shouldn't do that. Or maybe you should do that. Or maybe you should think about looking at it this way or that way. Or when you still start feeling down about yourself or feel like, geez, even though you got a whole bunch going on, ladies, and gentlemen, if you're listening, even though you have a whole bunch going on, you can still at the end of the day or two or three days later feel like you're not doing enough. Now, where did that come from? Because I think there's something in this world system that tells us we're not good enough, that we have to keep doing more. I think that is against God and it's against God's culture. He does not want us to do more. He wants us to be with him, not do with him.
Yeah.
And we get confused, so we pick up another project instead of being in his presence. But we're always trying to do.
But we have such a world of nonstop stimulation.
Yes.
There is, even in waiting in line, something to do. Be on your phone, check what's going on.
Yes.
So I think that's a big component to practicing the presence of Christ
practicing
in our breathing, in
sounds
our
like
sight
conference.
And ears. Yeah.
Sounds like a conference. Well, that's what the Arise conference did. It allowed you, you put women in a position where they could stop and practice the presence of God. And that's what your conference did for me. And that's what it did for the other 50, 60 women that were there. I go to a lot of conferences. Brooke, you go to a lot of conferences because we speak at them, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But they don't necessarily put you in a position to practice the presence of God. It's usually you're doing something.
Yeah.
You know, and so you put us in a position, staying overnight, being able to rest, getting up, eating together. It just made everything stop. And I loved it. I got back home. I had so many emails and all that stuff on my phone because I refused to fool with that phone while I was there.
I know, but I loved that too because like you said, it's breaking you out of your routine, your habit.
Yes.
And I thought, this is awesome.
Awesome.
I haven't even thought about
what
I'm
missing. I didn't have a computer. I had to handwrite my message. All that kinds of stuff. And I said, boy, I like the simplicity of this. You know, I didn't have a tiki girl. Wasn't no TVs there either. Wasn't no TVs. Wasn't no radios.
But you had your gospel music on.
I did. I did turn it. I had my phone. I was
Babby Mason.
Getting Babby Mason and some other people, kind of getting my mind ready. I needed a little something, you know. And so, but in terms of what the world had. I didn't know what was going on with the news, CNN, nothing.
Yeah.
And it was so refreshing.
And life went on and we were okay.
We didn't miss
anything.
We had a good time. We had a good time.
Yeah.
We had a good time. I think because, you know, when you first get there, you don't know each other, da, 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 da. But then after a while, we start to knowing each other. Everybody began to flow because we became on one accord. There's a song that says, "We are gathered here on one accord. We are waiting with open arms." And that's what began to happen. And no sooner we began to gel, of course, it was time to go home.
Yeah.
But we at least had that opportunity.
Yeah. And in that, as we go back to friendships and the power of community, we're all bringing in things. We're all wounded. We yes. all have past yes. experiences.
Yes.
So it is a place of death, but also a place of resurrection
oh,
when we come
it.
Together.
Absolutely.
And you have a friend, Pat Reese,
that
you've walked through life over 30 years.
Uh-huh.
Is it more
yeah,
than that?
Yeah, well, we've been married. My husband and I have been married 36 years. I've been knowing Pat longer than that. So
okay,
about
wow.
38 years.
So any tips about yes. fostering good, solid, authentic, long-term friendships? Because it can be difficult. Sometimes
yes.
communities aren't as open.
Yeah.
Some churches aren't as welcoming, where it's just not, there's not a lot going on that you can connect. There might be a generation gap.
Yeah.
So I think you mentioned that in the last podcast with Father Nathan. Cry out to the Lord and say, "Lord, send me a friend."
Yes.
And in turn, I think he will open your heart, that grace will flow. There'll be a
yes.
match.
Yes.
But things that we can do to foster yes. a genuine sisterhood.
Yes.
Any tips on that?
Well, the Bible says that if you want a friend, you need to present yourself friendly.
Mm.
And sometimes the reason we don't have friends is because we're not friendly.
Yeah.
We got issues and we've not even begun to deal with those issues. And that's the first thing. You got to want to take the responsibility and the work. Relationships are work, and they can be nasty. They can be sticky. They're just work, just like being
yeah.
married. It's work.
Yeah.
And so you just know that. And I was thinking just this the other day, I said, you know, why is it that we think that when we have girlfriends, you know, whatever, that it's going to be the same, that there's this one wonderful honeymoon relationship, we just hanging out, we just girls, we best friends and all that. That's not gonna last.
Yeah.
Because relationships change, just like marriage, it's a season.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is,
it's
when
the friendship infatuation, maybe
friendship infatuation, that's
yeah.
a good word. And then when the relationship changes, then all of a sudden everybody gets all willy-nilly. No, it's supposed to change. Now the question is, do we love each other enough to weather the storm during the change? No different than when you're married. Do I love you enough that even though you picked up 30 pounds, we're going to still be okay? Do I love you enough that even though you don't have the income you used to have, or because now I have to take care of you instead of you taking care of me, can we still have a relationship?
And I think too, with friends, sometimes they ask you for advice. And if you see them making decisions that you wouldn't do, or, you know, say, well, they didn't take my advice. You know, I
right.
told them not to get involved
right.
with that guy, or whatever
right.
the case
right.
might be.
Right.
You know, there are over years things that develop in friendships where it could be, as you say, a bitter root or
yes.
resentment
yes.
that you've never dealt with.
Yes.
And women can be funny, because I am one. I know that,
yes.
you know, sometimes
yeah,
I think, well, why didn't you tell me? And then when someone does tell me, then I get upset, you know, so
yes.
it's like they can't win for losing.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
I think.
Oh, yeah. We can be funny. We can
yeah,
be funny.
We learn
and
about ourselves.
Those of us who are controlling, I'm a little on the controlling side. If you ask me and I tell you, then do what I say and your life will be better. Okay.
No problems.
Well, we ain't have no problems, but that's, I have to, and I was telling my husband about that. You got to pull away from that, because the relationship should be on both sides. It shouldn't be a one up and a one down, one up and a one down. However, you do have other relationships where you do more mentoring.
Yes, that's
so
true.
Each
it
relationship
is different.
You do discipleship, you do mentoring. It's different. But my relationship with Pat is an equal relationship. And so therefore we're at a point now where we've been together so long, there are parts of us at jail, but now we're changing. And I don't think we like the fact that we're changing. We want to go back to where we used to be, but we're not going back there. That was 30 years ago. I'm
yeah.
not the same woman I was 30 years ago. She isn't either.
Right.
So how we think at 60 and 60, what is she, 61, 62, that we're going to be the same? We've got different aspirations now. Everything is changing. Can you roll with the changes? Can you accept that God has created us for change, and change is good? That's what helps a relationship last.
Mm.
And God just gave me that last night laying in the bed, because I was praying about it. I said, God, my relationship is uncomfortable. You ever been in a point where with a relationship with a girlfriend, you're just uncomfortable?
Yeah.
And God said, well, Linda, it's changing. You're changing. You're a pastor now. You don't have the time you used to have. You're just at, and she don't have the time she used to have.
Yeah.
It's okay. But you love her enough. Do you love enough to just let this be for now?
And over those 3 decades, you've loved each other through different circumstances, highs
yes.
and lows, and in times where it hasn't been easy to probably love each other.
No.
So for you, is it just about remembering that God brought you together, the faithfulness? Because as you said, it can be work. Sometimes you're mad that they did something, or you have to forget.
Absolutely.
Or you did something and screwed up.
Yeah. We go at it. We have to be honest, and we have to be... The thing is, we have to be real with each other. And she can't back away from me because my behavior is such that I'm in your face. Bam, I say what I want to say, I'm done. But that's not her style. That's not how she responds. So she can back away. And so I have to let her come out of who she is, say how she feels, and hear it. Okay, Linda, you see what you did? You see what you said? Okay, can we reconcile this? Now, it's not always about an apology. It's more as much as it's about understanding.
Yeah.
Let me just understand that you're not there anymore, and I'm not there anymore. And that's okay. Okay, we're in different places and you want something else. You don't want to do what you used to do. I'm getting that.
Yeah.
I'm getting that. So it is it's a work. If you're in Christ, it's so much easier because you have something to fall back on, because you can say, you know what? I know that we're supposed to be together as girlfriends, and we're going to ride it out until we don't ride it out anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm committed. It's a commitment. I'm committed to her.
And after so many years, all the walls are taken down. I mean, there is nothing about her that is going to surprise you. I
right.
mean, as you know, like you said, we all change and we're
right.
all human.
Right.
But
right.
I had received a really heartbreaking note from a listener, and she just said, and I may have shared this in one of the other podcasts, that it's hard for her because she's shy to put herself
yeah.
out there. But even when she has, in Christian circles, she's been hurt
oh.
or she's been betrayed. And so the
That's
feeling of, you know what, I'm not doing it anymore. Every time I try, I get hurt. And just because we are Christian doesn't mean that we're still not capable
that's
of,
right.
I mean, and sometimes it hurts the most
that's right.
because you have expectations that this person has your best interest in mind or whatever the case might be, because we are complicated as humans. And I'm coming off an event, by the way, it was such a pleasure and an honor to speak in a couple of events this past
yeah.
weekend, North Olmsted at the Assembly, North Olmsted Assembly, and also Victory Life Church. But that in particular is why I keep going back, because
yeah.
the second event that I was at in North Olmsted, it was all about women in relationships.
Ooh.
And the pastor, the woman that was there, she's not the pastor, but her father was the pastor, and then he died, and she does a lot of the ministry programs now. But she was just saying about personal experiences that she
yeah.
was really hurt. And that's why I keep bringing it up, because it then caused me to go back over time. And when I was in middle school and being bullied and thinking, I am never going to trust another woman
yeah.
because they can be so mean and cruel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you think, how can they treat someone like that and then not even care? But I know, as you said, accept some, you know, we are all in a different place.
Yeah.
And we may have well treated someone that way and not even realized it. I think sometimes
right.
in our actions, we don't fully know.
Right.
The way that it can affect another heart.
Right.
We can be going about our day and not even know that we just really stomped on someone.
Yeah. Oh, I used to, you know, people look behind me and see who was dead behind me. But
yeah, because that was one of your lines
yes.
that you say
yeah.
you had really been hurt, and you said, I'm not suicidal.
I'm just homicidal. But hurting people hurt people.
Yeah.
If you've been hurt, I have been hurt. I hurt people until I realized, because I came to know Jesus deeper and deeper, and I got in touch with that. Unless you get in touch with your relationship with Christ and what he's done for you, then you can get to a point where you can say, ouch, I'm hurting people with my behavior. And I don't even know it, because this is how I was raised, and this is what I do, and this is who I am, and this is what I've become. And so Christ is able to take some of that edge off, and you read some books and you get some help and get some personal counseling to realize that you're mean to people, and women can be mean. So to the young lady who has trusted women in the church and they betrayed her confidence, talked about her, laughed about her, shame on you. Shame on you for doing that. Yeah. We have a responsibility as Christian women to walk alongside other Christian women and to help hold them up and help them bear up under the struggles of life. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You have responsibility. If you can't be in a Bible study and you want to talk about all the other people in the Bible study, you need to stay home.
Yeah.
You're not ready. There's some things that you need to deal with. So to that young lady, I say to her, you ask God to send you a godly girlfriend, and he will. Now, don't be picky, because you might find at the grocery store somewhere, she might not be in the Bible study, but she might love Jesus. She might be out of a good old Baptist church, but she might love Jesus as much as you do.
Yeah.
And she can be a friend and a confidant to you. And that's what you got. We got to get out of these stereotypes. Brooke Taylor is my friend. She's Catholic and I'm non-denominational. Okay.
Yeah.
But she's my friend. I feel like I could tell her anything and we can talk about anything. So did we plan it? No. I believe God just dropped it like that for us.
Yeah.
And so you got to be open. Don't close yourself off that it has to be this kind of person and this kind of person. Let God send you a wonderful girlfriend that can walk alongside you. And you're that time that God sends her, it could be only for a short period of time, but it might be just what you need. And those of you women who are bullying, that's bullying, Christian bullying.
Yeah.
Well, it's really not Christian, but I won't say religious bullying.
Yeah.
That's shame on you, but I know women who do that. But see, I have the gift of discernment so I can see them a mile away. I ain't telling her nothing.
Going somewhere else.
Yes,
but
right.
Like you said, they need to work on their stuff and then be ready.
Exactly.
And God will prepare them for that. And you know what you said really reminded me of something Father Nathan shared about. And I think he was in the conversation that we had together was we see a woman and think she has it together. And we all want to go sit by her and be by her.
Yes.
Oh, I want to be. And we know we need to go to the broken one.
Yeah.
And that's what community is about.
Yeah.
Is coming together as a body of Christ and having God's grace fill in all the holes and all the areas where we have felt rejected and say, I'm going to accept you.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Unconditionally and faithfully.
Right. And even that whole comparison thing, ladies, when you compare yourself to another woman, you always going to look like you're underneath her if you choose to compare.
Yeah.
Don't compare yourself to anybody. Nobody knows the reality that you walk in every day in your home with your husband, with your children. And if you're working on a job, whatever you're doing, that's your reality. I learned that a long time ago in my marriage, and it really has given me a whole lot of peace. I don't really care about what other women think about what I do with my husband, with my child, if I'm at this committee meeting or if I'm at church. I really don't care. They don't know what I live with every day. They don't know how I sleep at night. They don't know the struggles I have. And if you love me enough, you'll come alongside me and understand. But if you don't, that's okay. This is my reality. And Brooke's reality is her reality that she has to live with every day. Somebody else who has one child, they have their own reality. Maybe they have to work a job outside the home and still come home.
Yep.
Maybe they have a husband who has some disabilities. We just don't know. So don't be so quick to form an opinion before you know what's going on with folk.
In either, you know, elevate them or
exactly
or on the other side. And I think, too, the beauty of getting older, I think you are able to kind of let things go. That's how I feel a little bit. It's like, why in the world was I worried about that?
Right.
You know, when,
right.
And in growing in Christ, too.
Growing
and being detached.
In Christ and knowing that it all works out at the end of the day. I'm like you, the things that I have worried. So why would I take my time to worry about that? It works out in the end. And then it wasn't that important.
Yeah.
Nah, it was. It's not that big of a deal.
Exactly.
I say that all the time. Now it's not that big of a deal. Why you even want to waste your time with that? Move on to something else.
Yep.
You know?
I need to we have a padre in your pocket. I need to have, I don't know, a pastor in my purse.
A pastor in my purse. I like all your little words. Pastor in my purse.
Bring you out. Because those reminders, those little nuggets of wisdom, if we could just replay that in our mind on the days that we need it.
Days that we need
your voice and your confidence because you've lived it out and you've seen the fruit of letting go of things that don't really matter today.
I taught a class years ago, 30 years ago, it's called Letting Go of Yesterday. And that class that I taught to adult children of alcoholics. I started the class because I was an adult child of alcoholic and there was nowhere for me to go. And I felt so weird. So I started doing research and study on it and realized I wanted to bring this to my church. And they let me. And all of the deacons, preachers, and trustees were in this class. Because they were adult children of alcoholics. And it was named Letting Go of Yesterday. And that is what catapulted me and started me on my recovery. Because as I was teaching them, I realized that my stuff was so deep and underneath and hidden that I needed extra work, extra work, extra work. So you have to learn. It's a practice. Like Brooke talks about that muscle. You've got to practice how to let go of some things. And just say, some things, ladies, are just the way they are. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yep.
It's just life.
Yeah.
If you're driving, you get a flat tire, ain't no need in getting mad. It's just life.
Yeah.
Call AAA, your husband or whoever. Whatever you need to do, change it yourself. It's life.
Yeah.
It's just
life. And to have peace in the midst of it all. Because that is, and it's a note that I have. I have all these notes in my my closet. Have you seen The War Room, that movie?
Yes.
The Inner Room. So after that, I was inspired to put all these notes up. And Philip Keller, he wrote the Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, and he said,
yes.
One of the great hallmarks of a Christian is unshakable peace, the serenity that the world says, how in the world are you able to be at peace right now?
How do you do that?
I'm a Christian.
It's peace that surpasses, the Bible says in Philippians, all understanding, that people don't even understand how you're walking through it because you have such a peace about it. That's a good book, by the way. My bishop just did a whole series on that book. It was phenomenal.
It is.
And I decided, I'm sitting there, but I didn't read. Now I got the book. I'm going to read it. It's a good book. Wish I had it before I went to Ireland, though, so I could have
understood about this. Well, you know what? I loved it because in the neighborhood, the area that we live, I don't see sheep or shepherds, and I might understand to a point because scripture is so full of agricultural references.
Yeah.
And in this age and culture that we're in, at least where I live, it's not something, I don't know professional fishermen or shepherds, and there's a reality about walking every day in trusting God's provision of creation, the weather, the food, provision, that I think helps us enter in. And this Philip Keller, the author, wrote so brilliantly about it. It was one of those books, I think I got it maybe 10 years ago from Amazon, and it was previously owned. So the person who owned it already had things highlighted.
Really?
And it was so neat when that happens, because it made me stop. And maybe a sentence I would have gone by, I was like, oh, I reread it because he had highlighted it, or she, I don't know. But yeah, it is a good one.
Well, see, now when I finish this one I have, I'm gonna write that one. There I go. I'm going to write that one.
I'm gonna start saying I'm gonna. See, Jim says fixin'. He says fixin'. I'm fixin' to do something.
See, fixin'. So that's a good one too. I'm fixin', right.
To do whatever. I want to do a giveaway.
Okay.
Before we wrap up the segment, because in the last episode, we talked about this goodie bag from Arise that you received.
Oh, yeah. It was wonderful. It has some nice stuff in there.
Loaded. And the cover of the bag's nice. It says, be still and know. It's Psalm 46:10.
I am God. Amen. We need to be still more. That's for sure.
Yeah. And some books inside. There's a Magnificat Missalette. There's a book called Beautiful Mercy. And there's some, there's a notebook in here. There's a whole bunch of stuff. And you had, there were a lot of fantastic listeners that submitted to win this.
Okay.
And so we pulled a name. I wrote the name down. I generated a random winner generated. And I wanted you to read the...
Alrighty. Drum roll. Da-da-da. Jacqueline Novak.
All right. Yeah. Jacqueline Novak. Thank you. I don't know where Jacqueline's
Jacqueline.
From. But you get the bag, so we're going to mail it off. And she has an email that went with it. She said, Brooke, I'm so glad to hear you had a wonderful, fruitful time at the Arise Retreat. I was sad to miss it, but I am praying that next year I can go.
Good.
Thank you for all you do. As a stay-home mom of 4, 7, and younger, listening to you makes me feel like another adult is around during my day.
Oh, that's sweet.
I will attach a picture of us so you can see the friends you don't know. Oh, my goodness. Jacqueline, thank you. God bless you. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Jacqueline. See you next year.
Yes. And thank you for being here. Thank you for getting up and coming over on this rainy day and sharing
you for
your
having me. I love
heart.
It. I love doing this.
May have to be roping you back in more often.
Hey, so. Whenever you say, I'm ready.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, do you have any events you want to plug?
events. Nope. Don't have anything.
Okay.
No, I'm good.
But your website is lciministries.org. Okay.
Yes.
So we can find you there.
You can find me there.
And on Facebook. I know that even through
Facebook.
The retreat, it's
yes.
like this big sisterhood that's growing.
Yes, it is. You can find me, Linda Isaiah.
God bless you.
Uh-huh. God bless you.
Well, the mail must go through. The mail must go through. No matter if it rains or snows, the mail must go through. I said the mail must
This is Mary from New York City. And thank you so much for that beautiful pastor and padre speech, the talk in your last episode. It was just what I needed to hear. You know, it occurs to me, you know, as Christians in this world, we all have to hang together or we will all surely hang separately. Because, you know, the enemy is prowling and awake and he's around and he's everywhere. And they truly, Linda and Father Nathan, are the most special forces. They're our SEAL Team 6. They are in the breach. They are always buffeted. And I will pray for them. Wow. It was just what I needed to hear. So thank you so much. And Brooke, I just want to express, I'm still very much processing what happened at Arise. So I can't comment on it. I'll have to think about it some more and maybe write about it. But I just want to say to you, Brooke, I hope you are getting your well filled. I hope you are making time to sit in Eucharistic adoration because you give so much. And I know you get a lot too from giving, but your well is empty as ours. And I know because of your position, you weren't able to participate as fully in a lot of the events that arise as perhaps you wanted to. I just hope and pray your well is getting filled. And if you need to go on a personal retreat, then you can somehow make that happen. And I pray for you and I pray for Father Nathan and thank God for Linda Isaiah and all of you. You do so much. I just want you to be as full of Jesus as you can possibly be. Okay, one more thing. And I'm just full of insights today. Sorry. But there was no God, you know, when this whole thing worked out that it was going to be on the Divine Mercy weekend. Wow, I think God really knew what he was doing when he gave us this opportunity to experience divine mercy. And that talk, that conversation with Father Nathan and Linda Isaiah, oh, wow. You know, yes, you've received the mercy. What are you going to do with it? It's an act of mercy. It's a mercy that wants to be visible in this world. It's a mercy that pushes us outside of our comfort levels. And here is the startling thing I am really understanding. And it's a hard thing to understand. But Jesus meant it when he says you have to forgive your enemies. And even if your enemies really are your enemies, maybe they're just people who hurt you. Now, I've been very fortunate in my life. Most people don't go out of the way to hurt me because I'm not very powerful. But, you know, I've experienced the hurts that a lot of people experience, the hurts of neglect or carelessness or your friends being too busy, things like that, that are hurtful, even though they're not deliberate, but they're hurtful just the same. And so having experienced that quite recently, I understand my mission is mercy. I actually have to pray for the people who have hurt me. And that is my job as a missionary of mercy, is to actually put those words into action. And yes, I am hurt. Yes, I'm crying. Yes, I'm mad. Yes, I'm upset. I still have to do it. I still have to pray for them. I still have to exercise mercy. Jesus is walking toward me to give me a push and say, Mary, I love you. You can call me daddy. That's how much I love you. So what are you going to do with my love, Mary? What are you going to do? Well, I got my answer. And I got my answer just by listening to that beautiful conversation. So bless you, Brooke. Bye-bye.
It's Sunday. I'm sitting out here in the sunshine. It is 85 degrees here in Hudson, Ohio. I cannot believe it. Anyway, I had promised you, my friend, that I was going to send you the list of 15 things that I'm most grateful for from the retreat. And I'll tell you what really reminded me to do that was in Mass this morning. It was just so beautiful. This is the first Mass that, I did go to a daily Mass, but this is the first Sunday Mass that I've been to since the retreat. And I'll tell you what, Father Patrick this morning at St. Mary spoke about how we all have our Emmauses, and that we have to allow God to turn our Emmauses into Jerusalems. And, you know, coming from the retreat, coming off the retreat was like, during the retreat, I felt like I was in the presence of Christ. And then coming home, I was on the walk to Emmaus, and now I have to take this Emmaus into Jerusalem. So, yeah, it was a very fitting homily this morning. But anyway, so as to my list of 15 things that I'm most grateful for from the retreat, first of all, I have to say that all of my new sisters welcomed me into the family. Like I was, I just felt like I was a very special member of the family. And secondly was Taylor Tripodi's music. Her music just really ministered to me. And I loved the chef. I can't remember his name, but he was so adorable. Number four would be the spiritual direction that I signed up for and actually went for with the Children of Mary, the sisters from the Children of Mary. And number five was the location. I did not have any idea that there was a retreat center so beautiful and just so divine. Number six was the massage therapy. And by the way, these are not ranked in any order. I mean, I just, as I'm going through these, whoa, I have never had a massage like that. And I've had lots of massages. And then the Healing Touch class with Dr. Ann. I know she'd get mad at me for calling her Dr. Ann, but she is a doctor. And so I'm going to call her Dr. Ann. And then number eight, the Holy Craft. I love crafts. When you go on a retreat, you have to do a craft, right? Number nine was the chant mass, the Eucharistic procession at Walsh with Father Nathan. And then number 10, the opportunity to develop a relationship with my other sisters in the faith. And then my roommate, Michelle Bender, we didn't know each other from Adam, but we came away feeling like we had known each other for a long time. So I send her love if she gets to hear this. And I miss her too, and hope to get together with her sometime. And then number 11, the ministry of Pastor Linda Isaiah, the grief work and the concrete steps and exercises that she gave us. Number 12, of course, Father Nathan Cromley, his faith loomed large and was contagious. And then number 13, the healing holy hour with the children of Mary. Worship was number 14, the daily worship was integral to the power of the experience. And finally, book you, number 15, last but not least. This is going to go down in the books as one of the most important accomplishments in God's eyes that you have made, honestly. So that's my list of 15. I've gone on long enough. I love you, and we'll be talking to you later this week, okay? Take care. Bye.
Wow. Thank you again to my friend Linda Isaiah. Thank you especially to Catherine and Mary. Wow, girls, you get the blue ribbons. You are the gold star sisters of feedback. Thank you so much for sharing your insights about the retreat, and your reflections have inspired me. Thanks again. Keep it coming. I'm Brooke Taylor, the number one on Voxer. Also feedback at goodthingsradio.com. Congratulations to Jacqueline for winning that fantastic goodie bag and more prizes to come. I promised you that I would tell you about this fantastic mass journal, so I want to explain it and then give you a chance to win. Thanks to our listener, Catherine, who blessed me with this whole story about how she discovered Matthew Kelly and the ministry dynamic Catholic, and then discovering the blessing of journaling and how when we do that during Mass, it just brings out so much more in the liturgy than maybe we would even realize, and the things that we can take away into our week. So I started to do this, and here's how it works. You go to church, and as you're sitting in the pew. Hopefully you're there a few minutes before Mass starts, and it gives you an opportunity to really pray and to ask God, show me one way in this Mass that I can become a better version of myself this week. And then you listen. So you listen to the music, what God is saying through you in the melody, through the readings, through the homily, and the prayers of the Mass. And then one thing, that's the hope, will strike you. And once it's revealed to you, you spend the rest of Mass praying about how you can live that one thing in the coming week. So that's what this journal has done for me. I can't believe that I just now started to do this, and I really feel like it's something I'm going to do, I want to do forever. And it's a small enough journal that it can go in your back pocket or in your purse, but it's big enough where you can write on it and just jot down those few things that you want to say. The greatest part is that if you order the first one, it's free. All you have to pay is shipping. It's like $5.95 if you go to dynamiccatholic.com. It's a free one copy journal. And as an extra bonus, I ordered one and would love to give one to you. So I will cover the shipping. I have it in-house. We'll mail it out. All you need to do is submit your name and maybe where you're from too. I would love to know where you're from. And we will pull the winner next week. So feedback at goodthingsradio.com is how you can register. Just say who you are, where you're from, and we will pull a winner for episode number 96 for the Mass Journal. If journaling is something that you've done in your prayer time or Mass time, I would love to hear more about it. I've heard about this with food journals, and I know you can do that in a digital way, but I just love the idea of an actual hardcover journal, as Linda was talking a little bit about journaling earlier, the same principle. Thank you so much for being a part of episode number 95 and joining the community of Good Things Radio. If you would love to support the show, we would love to have you. We pray for all of our good friends of the program. You can donate $1 a month, $20 a month. There's no amount too small, no amount too large. Just go to podbean.com/goodthingsradio. And you can become a good friend of the program that way. And we pray for you, our Good Things Radio good friends, every single day. And thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, from Cumming Home Studios for his dynamic skills and quick work. To find out more and what he can do for you, go to cumminghomestudio.com. God bless you, friends. God be with you in your friendships, in your marriages, in your daily walk. Until next time, friends, peace be with you.